chapter 10. If you don't have one, one of our ushers will kindly get one for you. Just lift your hand in the air. excuse me. Mark chapter 10. It's just one little verse. Verse 51. And I'm actually going to just read the first half of the verse. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. And he said, and answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you today. We thank you for gathering us together here in your house, God. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining us this week, Lord, and for providing for us, God, for loving us through. And we come to your Lord's table today, God, and we ask, Lord, for revelation. Lord, we ask for transformation to occur in our lives, God. Lord, let us be different, God, because we're here today. Lord, come and release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today, God, individually and corporately as a body. God, we bless you. We love you so much, God. Lord, just watch over us today. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I really don't have a title of the message yet, so as the course happens, if you've come up with a good title, please let us know, and so we can put something on the internet later today. But it's this phrase that's really kind of been hitting me these days. And I know I have to, you know, start off by saying this is a very, this Sunday was a very difficult Sunday. Not because there's anything going on in my life or anything, but just in terms of to preach. You know, last night I stayed up until about 3 a.m. And generally for me, you know, before I go to sleep on Saturday, I already know what I'm going to speak on. And so I usually sleep pretty well. And, you know, and I wake up in the morning and take care of business and pray, and then I get to church. But last night, man, it just, you know, I had 4 or 5 different things roaming through my mind. And, you know, my spirit felt so unsettled. You know, I don't know if you ever had that feeling before where you just feel so unsettled. And I couldn't go to sleep. And so I decided to go out to the living room. You know, our family was in bed by now. And so I thought, you know, I'm really tired. I need to go to sleep. So I opened up the Bible, and I went to one of the old prophets, and because he usually puts me to sleep. But that's not to say the Bible's boring, you know, you didn't hear from me. But generally, you know, the old prophets, especially the minor prophets, you know, they kind of do a little something to me. But I started reading, and I was reading Jonah, and I was getting so pulled into the text, you know, and God was speaking to me through it. And so I finished it, and you know, so I went back to the computer and back and forth. And all to say that, you know, I hope something comes out of this today. Yeah. But, you know, because I had an agenda, and I had an idea of the kind of message I wanted to lay out for each of you guys. You know, we're this is the last week. We're going into our retreat. So you guys know our retreat is the event of our church. You know, and I'm done twisting arms, right? If you don't want to go, that's your problem, right? So, you know, I told the Lord this year, Lord, I'm not going to beg anyone. You know, other years I begged, right? I mean, I really begged. And this year I'm not going to beg anyone, right? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Listen, you know, as he does speak to you. But on the other side, and so I, you know, we're getting close to our retreat. And Lord, I know there's something that you want me to say. You know, I know there's that you want to position us in some way. You know, our theme this year is double portion. You know, and there's been a lot of people that have been walking in double portion. You know, that God has just done some amazing things in their lives. You know, I mean, things that they never thought would be possible. Things that they never imagined would happen to them. You know, in their jobs, in their families, and expansion of their families. And, you know, and so many different things. And God's really laying out. You know, but I also recognize, you know, as I look at the span of our church, that most people in our church are not walking in double portion. They're not even walking in single portion. You know, it's like half portion, if even that. You know, and I realize, Lord, you know, come on, let's, there's got to be something that occurs in our life, you know. And I always look forward to our time of retreat, you know, where we can really come together as a family. And one of the reasons why I'm really excited to go is, you know, as I'm just being honest, right? As I scan this room, I don't know half of you guys here. You know, I'm just being honest, and I'm supposed to be your pastor, right? Bad pastor. You know, I don't know half of you guys. You know, and so I'm just looking forward to a time where we can just get to know each other a little better, you know, to get away and spend some time together and, you know, and see, you know, just kind of know who you are, and you can know who I am and our other leaders are here, and just grow in that way, just in community a little bit. And so that's more of a selfish thing for myself. But I also know, you know, that God really wants to move in the midst of us. And this is the phrase that just kept coming over and over and over again. It's a simple question. And the Lord turns to this blind man, Bartimaeus, and he asks a simple question. What are you going to do for you? If you actually look a few verses before that, he tells the same question to John and James. And he, in verse 36, same question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Right now, John and James asked for power and glory and all these things, and so God left it alone. But then here's this humble blind man, Bartimaeus, he comes, cries out to God. And the Lord turns to him and says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, I want to see. And the Lord Jesus turned to him and said, all right, done deal, right? It's all taken care of. This is the question that I feel like God is speaking to all of us, individually and corporately as a church. The Lord, there is an opportunity. The Bible talks in time, in the span of time. There's a few different words, and I've taught many times on it, and so, you know, I'm not going to go so much in depth, but there's a window of opportunity the Bible talks about. It's the word Greek where we get the word kairos from. You know, and kairos means a kind of an open door. You know, a window of opportunity, a special time. It's not chronos time where, you know, we get the days and time and seconds and all this, but this is kairos. You know, I've been feeling so unsettled, you know, these days in my spirit more than anything else, because that window of opportunity is opening up for us. You know, and as a pastor, you know, I don't just want, you know, five faithful guys to go through that door, you know, or through that window. I want our whole church, every single person, you know, the people that I don't know, people that don't know me, all of us together, you know, that come to congregate on Sunday, you know, to enter in that door together to receive all that God has for us. You know, at some point, we need to recognize that you know, and I see this in my own life, that, man, I am not living what God has intended for me to live. I am not receiving, I don't have in my possession the very things that God wants me to have. I'm not operating in the things that God wants me to operate in. You know, that it's there, it's on the horizon. It's so close. I can see it, I can taste it, but I don't have it yet. You know, and a hunger begins to begin to move inside. You know, and it's this question. I feel the Lord just looking and say, what do you want? You know, if God were to stand in front of you right now, this very moment, ask you that question, hey, Sujin, what do you want? You know, what do you want me to do for you? George, what do you want me to do for you? The Lord will ask. You know, all over this room. You know, and my idea is we probably all kind of had the same answer. You know, if we don't, then this message really sucks. So you guys just got to follow along with me. You know, the general of the Persian army, he always gave his condemned prisoners a choice, the firing squad or the black door. Most always chose the firing squad, you know, because the prisoners never knew what was behind the black door, you know, or what's on the other side of the black door. Few ever chose this unknown black door. When asked, this general was asked, what was on the other side of the black door? The general answered, freedom. Freedom's behind that door. And he says, I've known only a few men brave enough to take it. You know, and I feel like we're on that ledge right now. You know, now no one's going to shoot you or anything, so don't worry about anything like that. But there's a door of the unknown that's waiting there. We stare at it all the time. You know, it's where our fears culminate. It's where our desires have died in some ways. You know, I mean, you can draw all kinds of allusions to it, but there's a door that's sitting in front of all of us. You know, well, I can't say all, right? Most of us, I'll say. Will we have the courage to enter in? Will we have the courage to press in and achieve freedom? This, you know, and I thought about this, you know, sitting down, you know, what do I really want? Well, I mean, you know, yeah, okay, we all want to be rich, right? We all want to be, well, some of us want to be famous, you know, blah, 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 all these things, successful. You know, that's surface stuff. Deep down, what do we really want? I came up with three very simple things, you know, and I hope this resonates with you. Number one, we want to be able to love. We want to be able to love. There is something that cries out inside of us, right? There's stuff inside, and we want to love. You know, we want to love God. Another thing, you know, probably more important than is we want to be loved deeply. You know, this is why, you know, I mean, sure, I'm a little pushy sometimes, you know, but this is why I want all you guys to get married. You know, I mean, I know we always get to that point and stuff, but forgive me, you know. There's just something so divine. You know, you think about all the covenants that God laid out in the universe, you know, and he designed the covenant of marriage and the family. You know, and there is something so profound, right, of finding that person that God has for you, you know, and being able to look them in the eye, you know, and just say, I want you, I love you, and you love me. It's that intimacy of being able to express all of your heart, you know, to express all the stupid things that you did in the past. And so if you, I believe in full disclosure, right? So we'll get into that another time, you know, and just sharing all these things and the person looking you in the eye and says, you know what? I love you anyway. Oh, you can't buy that, right? You can't buy that, you know? And I mean, that's just, you know, obviously just one of the reasons why I'm married. You know, but it's right that we want to love, we want to be loved. The last one is we want to be free. We want to be free. We want to be free of things that no one knows. You know, those vices that eat away at us. You know, our lack of control in some ways, or you know, those things that you know. And I say this right, and then don't get me wrong, but if you knew what was in the heart of the person sitting next to you, you would move. You would move. If you really knew the depth of junk, their twisted mind, what they're thinking about, right? I know, what's wrong with this guy, right? If you really knew who, man, you'd get as far away from that person as you possibly could. I mean, this is who we are. We're fallen beings, and we want to be free. We want to love something or someone greater than us, right? When, you know, when we speak, we want more to be said than some of our words. When we work, we want more to be accomplished than the sum of our labors, right? We want more, you know? And the sad thing, friends, is that we have been settling for poor substitutes, right? Instead of the real thing. You know, we've chased after emotions instead of the Holy Spirit. You know, we've longed for, you know, and settled for sleep instead of really getting rest. You know, we've retreated to quiet, right, instead of really finding peace. You know, we've tried to make friends instead of finding koinonia, right, true fellowship. We've settled for sex instead of true intimacy with one another. We've gone after clubbing and drinking and all these vices instead of true connectedness with one another. You know, and I want to say to you guys, all these things that you want deep inside of you, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's not too many things, you know, I can say with such conviction, but this I can say with such conviction. I would place my life on this simple truth that no one can satisfy like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can satisfy like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and we can chase it in so many different things, chase it in so many different arenas, you know, go after success in this, success in that, you know, and you'll come back to the same place of emptiness. You know, and I can say that because, you know, that's what my life was before I met Jesus. You know, you have to turn there in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then he turned to his people that he was speaking to, and afterwards he said, "Hey, right now, when you just heard it, it's done. It's fulfilled." Right? Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to release us from our prisons, you know, that society and culture have made around us, you know, that we have made ourselves around us. And he came to set us free, you know, and John tells us, "And if he sets you free, then you are free indeed." Right? There's a cry, you know, that looms in our hearts, right? God knows what we really need and what we really want. Only God can touch the real needs in our life. Right? No one can satisfy like the Lord Jesus. Turn to your neighbor, and you got to do a good one, right? You got to do a good one. I mean, look at them in the eyes and say, "Hey, good looking. Man, only Jesus satisfies." Right? There's got to be conviction there, especially the good looking part. Some of us just need to be encouraged, you know? Only God can satisfy us. You know, I shared this last week. I was in between the first and second service. I was sitting in the back, and we were worshiping, and I was actually sitting in the back with Imelda, and I was just sitting, I was tired. By the way, this is a side note, but those two back rooms are only for parents and their kids, okay? And so if you go there to sleep or something, you know, get out of the rooms, okay? That's just a side note. We're going to speak about that a little more later on. But I was in the back, you know, and just during worship and worshiping, and Imelda was sitting next to me, you know, and she had Genevieve in her lap, and the worship team was leading us in a song, you know, it's, you know, "I Cry Out," and it says, "Lord, you are good, Lord, you are good to me," you know, and we're singing together, and I had my eyes closed, and I was just really sensing the presence of God, you know. I mean, it was filling up the room, and I knew it wasn't me. You know, because I mean, I knew the presence was coming from outside somewhere, you know. And so as I was singing, I could just feel this, you know. The Bible, you know, a lot of when it talks about glory, talks about the kabod, the heaviness of God. And I could just feel this heaviness, you know, so much so I actually wanted to cry, you know. And I mean, that's not my normal mode of operation, you know, and things. And so I said, "What, man, it's like this wind that blows in." I said, "What's going on here?" And then I look over at Imelda, you know, and Imelda is sitting down, and she's got her daughter Genevieve on her lap, and she's relaxed, she's calm as can be, so peaceful. You know, she's got her hand on her tummy, you know, and by the way, they're pregnant. So I got the permission, right, just so you know. So it makes the story a little more active, right? Sorry I stole Jean-Marc's thunder, but, you know. And so she was holding on to her baby in her lap and her other baby in her womb. And, you know, and I was singing myself, and, you know, and just the presence of God. You know what I mean? Just the presence of God just coming in. Someone who is so satisfied, right? You know, and if you know their story, right, there's a lot of complications. You know, I hope that Jean-Marc and Imelda can share one day with you, you know, stuff that's been going on in their lives, and, you know, and them getting to this point of, you know, and growing in Christ, and, you know, and trusting God for, you know, for a child, and all these things. And there she was, just in the presence of God. I was thinking about it the whole week long, you know, just lying back and her hand there and her other precious child in front of her, just saying, "Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good to me." You know, and so I was sitting next to her, and, you know, and I was just thinking about that, you know, and I was just praying, you know, to the Lord, and You know, and I'm just honest, right? I mean, I just, if you allow me just a little vulnerability. And so I was thinking about my mom, you know, and I was just, and I was seeing the same exact thing. You know, even despite loss, Lord, you're so good to me. You're so good to us. You're so good to our church. God, you're so good to our families. Lord, you're so good. You know, and sitting in God's presence, gosh, you know, so many things going on in our lives that are not so good, right? People are losing jobs. Things are happening in our economy. I mean, so many things are going on. But yet in the midst of all that stuff, only God, my friends, only the Lord Jesus Christ can put something in our hearts that no matter what's going on, we can say, Lord, God, but you're so good. You're so good to me. You're so good to my life. You're so good to our friends. God, just period. Lord, you're so good. Friends, you can't get that anywhere. Drugs can't do that for you. Sex can't do that for you. Alcohol can't do that for you. Having success in life, you know, $1 million, $1 billion in the bank account cannot do that for you. The only person that can fill the spaces in our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because friends, he created that space. Right, Pascal says that God has shaped in each one of us a God-shaped vacuum, formed in each other, a God-shaped vacuum that only he can fill. And listen carefully. I know that you're struggling. I know that things are going on. I know you're not living double portion. But I want to say to you, open up. Just open up and let God enter in. Right? Let God fill that space. Let God enter into the void. Right? Just give him a chance, in essence. You know, I'm just going to cut to the chase here. So where do we go? I just want to just share a few things. You know, I've been, real simple, right? It's three O's, triple O's, right? I know, I'm thinking about hamburgers these days, triple O's. Where do we go from here? This is, in our divine moment, number one, opportunity. Grab a hold of the opportunity. See, friends, don't take it for granted. It doesn't happen all the time. The reason why it's kairos or why it's special is because it's not all the time, right? You know, it's special allotted periods of time that God opens up to us, right? Grab a hold of the opportunity. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Right? Seek the Lord while he can be found. And call upon him when he's near. Friends, he's near. Seek him while you can. Right? It doesn't mean that, you know, he's not the God of second and third and fourth chances or all that stuff. But, you know, my whole thing is, why wait? Right? Seek, grab a hold of the opportunity. Kairos moment. Let me give you a little story here. Since we're talking about Mongolian things. In 1269, the ruler of the Mongol kingdom, Kublai Khan, he sent a request from Peking, he sent it to Rome, and he asked the Vatican for 100 wise men of the Christian religion. This is what he said. This is Kublai Khan. He said, so I can be baptized. And when I am baptized, all my barons and great men will be baptized and their subjects baptized, so there will be more Christians here than there are in your parts. The Mongols were then wavering, right, in the choice of a religion. It might have been, as Kublai forecast, the greatest mass religious movement the world has ever seen. The history of all of Asia would be changed. Can you imagine what happens? Well, you know what actually happened? Pope Gregory X answered by sending two Dominican friars. Some accounts actually say they were even semi-literate friars. They got as far as Armenia, couldn't endure any longer, and returned home. the greatest missionary opportunity in the history of the church died with those two friars. See, Kairos moment didn't enter into it. This is the stark reality of it, right? Don't take it for granted. Don't take opportunities like this for granted. You know, I studied missiology. I was my major in school, and so I'll give you another one to lay aside. I know that Sophia just went to Japan on a mission trip, considered probably the most difficult mission field in Asia, right? One of the most difficult. You know, in Japan, years ago, when the Americans defeated Japan during World War II, General MacArthur actually came out and went back to the church in America, and he said, you need to send as many missionaries as you can. And MacArthur, not being a spiritual man, recognized that Japan was in a spiritual vacuum. All the gods that they had trusted, Shinto and all these things that they had trusted in, had failed them, and they were wondering, maybe the gods of the Americans is the true God. A spiritual vacuum had occurred. The American church was so angered by Pearl Harbor, you know, and by the war and whatnot, that they failed to send any significant amount of missionaries into Japan. And next thing you know, that window of opportunity shrunk and disappeared. You know, and now, you know, any of us that have ever been to Japan, you recognize this funkiness, spiritually. That's the only way I can explain it when you get there. You know what I mean? Friends, wasted opportunity. I can go on and on and on and on, you know, but I don't want to scare you into going through the black door. You know, but I want to tell you there is a stark reality that if you don't grab the opportunity, it may just pass you by. Jesus looking over Jerusalem, you know, we read this last week. Jesus looking over Jerusalem and says, oh, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers chicks. And he says, but you were not willing, right? God's desire was to grab Jerusalem, was to grab his people, love them, give them everything that they could ever desire. Wasted opportunity, right? Grab a hold, friends, of the opportunity. Grab a hold of Kairos moments. You know, have the courage to enter in. The Lord wants to be close to you. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 5. James chapter 4, verse 5. He says, or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. See, this is God's heart. God jealously desires. You know, and there is a level of jealousy that we can walk in. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, I mean, this is what we call one of those acceptable sins, right? You know, even though it's not so acceptable to God, but you know, we get jealous all the time. Someone gets this or someone gets that, and you know, we feel, oh man, why not me? And so on and so forth. I mean, that's a human jealousy. Can you imagine what God jealousy is like? You know, that he jealously does, he wants so badly that the Spirit of God dwell within us. Right? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Right, there's life and joy, right? The joy of the Lord. You know, he jealously desires, right? The opportunity is here. So grab a hold of the opportunity. So the first triple O, opportunity. The second one, openness. Openness. Open your hearts to him. See, it's not enough just to grab the opportunity. Now you gotta open up a bit. You know, you need to be a little vulnerable. You know, openness is essentially the willingness to grow. I'll say it again. Openness is essentially the willingness to grow. It's a distaste for the rut, right? For the mediocre. That's what openness is about. Let me share this story with you. There's an old pastor, well, he's not so old, but there's a pastor in the States, and he's basically credited with probably one of the greatest renewals or revivals in the church in probably our time. You know, it's a movement that happened out in Canada. You know, and this pastor, his story is actually pretty amazing. He was a part of used as part of a healing movement, and God just really used this guy. He was, you know, at an early age in his ministry and whatnot, he was really acquainted with the presence of God. He went through this incredible dry season of his life where he did not feel his God presence at all. You know, he felt lost and confused, and, you know, he was ministering, and he was, you know, church was growing, he was doing stuff, but he felt so dissatisfied inside. You know what I mean? Like everything is going well around, but inside just so hungry for something more. He became so desperate, he writes in his testimony that one night he actually got a gun, stuck it in his mouth, and was thinking about ending his life. I mean, crazy. I mean, this is a successful pastor, right? You know, don't worry, I don't have any firearms, you know, and stuff. And so, well, actually I do, but not in this country. You know, and so he goes, and obviously he puts the gun down, you know, and he repents, you know. And it's kind of like, you kind of know what kind of Elijah was going through, you know, or like Jonah. Lord, just kill me, you know, kind of thing. And stuff, and, you know, feeling so dissatisfied. And so this guy, this pastor, was going through that. Afterwards, he heard about this particular pastor, who, you know, is a bit different than he is. You know, flows in a different stream than he does. You know, probably wouldn't be caught dead in his church. You know what I mean? I mean, there are certain, you know, even in the Christian world, I'll just be honest, right? There are just some churches I just wouldn't be caught dead in, you know? You know, maybe I'm prideful, I don't know, right? But it's just not my cup of tea, it's not my style, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever you want to say, you know, I mean, you know, in the States, where I grew up in Costa Mesa, it's the international headquarters of TBN. And I don't know if you know what TBN is, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. It's like people that are trapped in the 60s that are doing ministry in this, you know, I don't know, I shouldn't be so critical, but, you know, big hair, you know, the whole deal and stuff. And, you know, it's just not my thing, you know what I mean? And most of the non-Americans, they have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. And so this guy hears about what's happening, that God's really moving over here. He wouldn't be caught dead in that stream. But he's so hungry, he goes, you know, and he's so open to God. You know what I mean? He's so desperate. He goes, you know, kind of disguises himself a little bit, you know, because he's a respectable pastor, you know. I don't go to this stream of the river. And he ends up going and gets so touched by God. God shows up in his life, moves in him in such a way, everything that he had longed for, he received that night. And it led to days and months of intimacy and the glory of God and all these things. Well, he goes back to his church, and he preaches, and the Spirit of God comes. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, like just people just feel like, oh, that was a nice service. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that was a good message. I really am blessed today. Wasn't that kind of spirit falling down, right? I'm talking about like a hammer, Spirit of God falling down. You know, we use this term, right? It was you know when a good meeting is when it was full of snot. You guys know what I mean by that? You know, where you just become so undone, you don't care if snot is falling down your nose. Right, and you're just being so moved by God, the snot's moving back and forth, and you know what I mean? You just don't care. You don't care what you look like. You know, I mean, I love those kind of meetings, right? You know, I see, you know, a very attractive woman, you know, I mean, just glowing, but just these, just crying to the Lord, makeup running down. I said, man, that's my kind of meeting, you know? And stuff, and he would go back to his church, right? And the Spirit of God, boom, falls down. He starts traveling all over the place. And everywhere he went, the Spirit of God, because now he's contagious. He's got a disease called Holy Spirit, right? And he's just going everywhere, you know? And thousands, you know, I grant you, the movement was a little bit controversial, you know, but I think unwarranted in some ways. You know, but I had a lot of friends. My pastor, right, the last pastor that I had, his marriage got saved during that revival. My pastor's wife went to the meeting. You know, she wouldn't be caught dead in one of those places either. You know, very, you know, staunch Presbyterian, you know, kind of, there's a thing, and next thing you know, God knocks her out, you know, and while she's on the ground, hours upon hours, the Lord heals her. You know, what had happened is she actually had a stillbirth, you know, years and years ago when they were first going into ministry, and she gave birth to a dead baby, basically, and she never really forgave the Lord in her heart, and so she was doing ministry, she was, you know, all those things, and she would draw close, but she could never get past that. And then she goes, and the Spirit of God comes, knocks her out, and all that bitterness and forgiveness just begin to flow. She's a totally changed person. It's amazing, you know. There's something about just being open, right? There's just something about just being open, you know, and not open to anything. You know, G.K. Chesterton says, you know, that, you know, open, having an open mind or being open and stuff, you know, is not really what we're going after, because the real gift is when you find truth that you actually close it. You know, I didn't really do him justice in that quote, but, you know, I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying. It's not that we're open to everything, but we're open to God, you know, and we create a space that we just get vulnerable and say, God, I know that I felt like you failed me before, but God, I'm coming here once again. Right? Grab the opportunity. Be open in your heart. You know, there's an old experiment that they used to do a long time ago, and they used to take fleas. I don't know if you heard this before. I probably shared many times. And what they would do is, you know, they would train fleas for circus, and, you know, believe it or not, right, all really crazy stuff like this, you know, and they would take the fleas, and you know how you can basically kill the life out of the flea? What they would do is they would stick this flea in a jar, and they would put like a covering, like saran wrap or some covering over it, and so the flea would jump, you know, and that's what fleas do, fleas jump, and they would jump all the time, but because there was this roof over their head, but they could see, but there was something there, they would jump and they'd hit this top and they'd come back down. And they'd jump again and hit the top and come back down. What happens is the fleas became trained eventually. And the fleas learned to jump just to the level of the top and came back down, right? And then all the guys I'd do, they would just take the top off and they would have to never worry about fleas disappearing, you know, or running away, you know, or something. And so the fleas, because now they're a condition. All they did was they jump a lot higher, but now they're a condition just to jump to that level. And they never got out of the can. What do I want to say by that? See, you can jump higher. There's more inside for you. But now we have been conditioned to jump only a certain way. You know what I mean? And so when we pray, we pray only a certain level. When we're giving, we only give to a certain level. You know, when we're serving, we only serve with not all of our heart, but part of it. It only goes to a certain level because now we've been conditioned by defeat. We've been conditioned by our circumstances. You know, and hear the word of the Lord, friends. The Lord is saying, just jump one more time. Right? The top is off. The seal is off. And the Lord is saying, come on, little flea, right? Just jump one more time and get out of that can. Get out of the rut. Get out of your mode. Get out of complacency. You know, I know you know, God's saying, you used to jump before. Jump like you used to jump. Right? Go back to what you used to do before. Right? The Bible in Acts says, repent and return. Right? In other words, go back to the things you do so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, and he's saying, come on. The Holy Spirit, our cheerleader, our advocate, he's saying, come on. You can do it. I, I know that prayer didn't work last time. I know that you went to the retreat last time and it didn't happen the way you wanted to. And I know this and that and so on and so forth. And I don't know, tragedy and these things have happened. But come on. Will you just trust me one more time? And just jump. One more time. Right? You grab the opportunity and you're open. Right? You're open. You know, and I just feel such a burning in my spirit. Just jump one more time and you'll be free. You'll be free. See, the simple truth, friends, is that cap, it's been off you for a long time, right? It's not there anymore. But we've been so conditioned in our life. We've been so conditioned to just jump and that's it. He's saying, come on, just do it one more time, right? Can you trust one more time, right? And see what happens, and see what happens. Openness. Let me read you a poem. I like poetry once in a while, right? Believe it or not. James Russell Lowell, he writes this. He says, life is a leaf of paper white whereon each one of us may write his word or two, and then comes night. Greatly begin, though thou have time, but for a line be that sublime. Not failure, but low aim is crime. See, when you jump, you're gonna jump to victory, right? The poem, right, he's basically talking about don't settle, don't settle, you know? I don't want to, just between me and you, right? Some of us here in this room, we are settling. We have settled in a long time. We've said in our hearts, this is as far as I go with you, God, right? You didn't say it with your mouth. You know, if we sat down together, you'd never say that to me. But in your heart, you said, Lord, this is as far as I want to go with you. Lord, this is about the level that I can offer you. You know, this is, you know, and Lord's saying, you know, let's go for another aim here, right? Let's jump a little bit. Let's see where God will take us in that. The last of the triple O's is real simple, right? It's obedience. Obedience. Opportunity, openness, obedience. See, we must obey the Lord. Let me read you this. The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Right? The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Take the mother's advice. In John 2, Jesus' first miracle in Cana of Galilee, Jesus' mother, Mary, turns, and his mother said to the servant, this is John 2, 5, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's some incredible advice, friends, right? Walk in obedience. Whatever God is telling you, if he's leading you into a time of repentance, obey. If he's leading you to forgive someone, obey. Whatever he says to you, do it. No matter where the conviction comes from. This week, I was with Elise and we're spending some time. And I don't know, I was just talking without thinking sometimes. And, you know, at least sometimes she's so smart. I sometimes feel like she's like an adult, and so I'm just talking with her and things, and so I'm talking, and I say something, and it's really, really sarcastic, you know, like, you know, I'm not really a sarcastic person, you know, but I say something really sarcastic, and I forgot what I said, and Elise looked over to me, and she goes, Daddy, no, bad words, you know, don't do that, right? And I could step back. I just felt the conviction. You know, yeah, I shouldn't be sarcastic. You know, sarcasm, actually, if you look up the word in Greek, means tear to pieces, right? I mean, that's literally what the word means, right? So you should not be sarcastic. You know, and it was my little daughter, right, that brought conviction. She says, Daddy, no, bad words. Don't do that. You know, I mean, just so simple like that. So it doesn't matter where the conviction comes from. As soon as you feel that conviction, obey. Obey. You know, a lot of us are not stepping into, you know, and I just be, just really, right? Because there's some unfinished business, I don't know what it is. You and God, you take care of it, right? There's just some unfinished business that you have with the Lord, you know, that you have with people or whatnot, you know, and that door is waiting for you. And just obey, right? Just simply obey, you know, and walk into that thing, right? Obedience, right? Step into something. Let's run after the Lord this year. Let's run after Him. You know, let's come into the place of a double portion. This is God's destiny in your life, in our lives. Let's really step into something. Let's close our eyes.